genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and our theme today is Expect the Unexpected. All three of my guests will discuss unexpected things, many of which we didn't know before. My first guest is a leading authority on China and the Chinese economy. She'll tell us about the burgeoning Chinese middle class and what it means for the United States. My second guest has done extensive research on animals to discover their surprising and secret lives. What's so remarkable is that the animals have many of the same characteristics that we as humans do. My third guest dispels the myths behind being a freelance professional. Freelancing is one of the fastest growing segments of the economy. Whether it's because of economic necessity or out of personal desire to be your own boss, solopreneurs are here to stay. And as always, you can call us at 639-0008. Helen Wang is an author, consultant, and expert on China's middle class. Originally from China, Wang has lived in the United States for more than 20 years. After finishing her master's degree at Stanford University, she worked in Silicon Valley, holding a variety of jobs from consultant to Fortune 500 companies to entrepreneur at internet startup. A Forbes contributor and a sought-after speaker, Wang now divides her time between consulting for companies that are doing business in China and helping nonprofit organizations make a difference. Her latest book is titled The Chinese Dream, The Rise of the World's Largest Middle Class. Welcome to the show, Helen. How are you today?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you for coming on, because China is an enigma to me. So let's dive right into it, shall we? The Middle Kingdom, which is what people call China, now has a middle class. The Chinese middle class is larger than the entire population of the United States, a staggering number. By 2025, that's only 15 years from now, the middle class in China will be 800 million people if the current trends continue. In the same time frame, China will have over 200 cities with more than a million residents. So my question to you, Helen, is this. What are the implications for American business of this amazing growth?
Well, definitely there is a lot of opportunities for American businesses. And American companies are already doing extremely well in China. And, you know, General Motors has become the largest automaker in China. I think the Chinese consumer helped the General Motors turn around. Now they are filing IPO in this country, so taxpayer, can get some money back in the U.S.
Right, right.
Also there are many examples, like Nike is doing extremely well as well. In 2009, while we were in recession, the Nike's revenue is growing like a 22% in China. So definitely Chinese middle class create alternative growth engine for American businesses.
Well, clearly 300 million people who all have money to spend is an attractive market. When I think of China, Helen, however, I think mostly of the food businesses that are doing well. Certainly McDonald's is doing okay there. Kentucky Fried Chicken doing outstanding there. A lot of food franchises are succeeding there. And, of course, everybody's got to eat. Tell us, though, what are some of the advantages that small businesses or even large businesses can take advantage of in the Chinese market?
Well, definitely you can go to a consumer market. You know, almost every sector of the Chinese market is very is booming. And if you're a small business, you know, you are selling little devices, you're selling, you know, some home appliances, that is booming in China. I know some of my friends, they have a little boutique fashion you know, shop they open in China that are doing very well. It's just about any area is doing pretty well in China for business, except one area perhaps which is the internet market, which is, can be very challenging in China.
Well, challenging to say the least. There's the whole issue of censorship in China, but there are also some very, very strong Chinese brands there. Alibaba.com, for example, rivals right. eBay or Amazon here in the United States. But let me ask you this, Helen, because if I'm a small guy and I'm listening to the sound of your voice right now, I want to get in that Chinese market. It's not as simple as all that, is it? You've got to have a Chinese partner. You've got to know the lay of the land. It's not like you just go over there to Shanghai or Beijing and you set up shop and away you go. It's not that simple, is it?
That's right. You know, in China, you really have to know the local market, understand the culture, which is very different from the U.S. And having local partner is very, very important. And, you know, do some research and perhaps, you know, hire some consulting company to do some, you know, marketing engine, things like that.
Okay, good. Now, let me change directions here with you, Helen, for just a minute, because in China, as the expression goes, if you're one in a million, that means there are 1,500 more just like you. So what does the burgeoning middle class mean for the worldwide job market? Because everybody's concerned about jobs here in the United States and elsewhere.
Well, I look at it this way. Since many foreign companies are going to China, and they are doing very well in China, so that will help the, their home economy in a way. If the company is doing well, and the U.S., for example, U.S. economy, you know, get help, and it's doing also well. And when the economy is growing, and definitely they will create more jobs in the home market. And but on the other hand, I also look think about it. You know, we need to look at our career in a way, you know, now we are all globalized. You know, we need to learn another language, our children especially need to learn another language, learn about other culture. Most likely our future job will, you know, multinational. And a lot of, I know some of my friends' kids, they finished a college recently, they got a job not here in China. And, you know, things like that. So in order for us to stay more competitive, we definitely need to look forward, look at the global level.
All right. I like that. Thinking of globalization is important. We're talking to Helen Wang, everybody. She's the author of the book, The Chinese Dream, The Rise of the World's Largest Middle Class. And let me ask you, in your book, Helen, you write that there are five truths about the Chinese middle class. What are they and how do we turn those into opportunities for ourselves?
Okay. Well, first of all, Chinese middle class, you know, as a lot of people sometimes they don't kind of believe the number. First of all, Chinese middle class is large, already large, you know, than the entire population of the United States. That's more than 300 million, which is one truth. And also Chinese middle class actually are shopping. And many of them, especially younger generation, they are buying foreign brands. America is the favorite American brands. So that's another good news. And the third thing is the Chinese middle class definitely pose a lot of challenge in the environment, because all of them, you know, they want what American wants. They want to have home. They want to drive cars. They want to travel for vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And think about it, if only, you know, 20% of the Chinese population start to drive cars, and that will cause, environmental disaster. As a matter of fact, China has already become the largest polluter in the world, and so that's another thing. The third thing, good news is, I would say the government is very serious about the environment, the problem in China, and they are, they have a lot of mandates and policies, regulations about the environment, and they also have a very strict standards for automobile, and which is actually higher than the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And another problem, but the problem in China is that central government is very know the problem, environment problem. You know, they know the problem well, but they want to address the problem. But the implementation in at a local level is a typical weak. Because local, officials sometimes they just want to, grow the economy. That's their main objective, and they don't really follow the central government's rule.
Well, Helen, I want to stop you there because that's an important point. We're talking to Helen Wang, everybody, author of The Chinese Dream. And you talked about the ineffectiveness, the weakness of the local communist governments in Chinese, which begs the bigger question. Can a communist government deal with these large issues, or will the Chinese government be forced towards democracy?
Well, I think the Chinese government is facing very strong challenge in terms of that, whether they can keep a state very tight control while, the economy in general is quite entrepreneur and a lot of, free market activity going on there. Definitely, I would think the Chinese government will be forced into democracy. And when that will happen, I don't know, but I'm pretty certain that China eventually will be. And some people told me 10 years, or some people told me 15 years. However, I also would think that, democracy in China will look very different from democracy in the U.S.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. Just to put it into perspective, Helen, it has been 21 years since Tiananmen Square.
Yes.
And we are a little bit closer, perhaps, to democracy, but it's still very much a pro-communist government. So any thoughts of it becoming a democracy in 10 years seems a little optimistic to me.
Yes. But I believe it or not, I talked to one of the former Tiananmen Square demonstrator, and he believed that way as well. In a way, government is already trying to, have the process in place. You know, election, at least we have a nominal election right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there are People's Congress in China as well. And, we'll see, maybe 10 or 15, you never know, because very clear, I have one chapter devoted in this subject, whether China will become a democratic society. And very clear, people already said that trend is unstoppable. Even though government try to slow down sometimes they trying to, please the public, say, okay, we are doing some, we are trying to move towards the democracy. As Hu Jintao said, without democracy, the modernization cannot realize. Modernization in China cannot be realized. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Well,
we're talking to Helen Wang, everybody, author of the book, The Chinese Dream. Helen, we've only got about 2 minutes left, but I want to address this one last issue, and that is China has a real population problem, an issue that's brewing. The one-child policy creates some demographic challenges for the Chinese as this generation of one-child population grows forward. What effect is the one-child policy going to have on the middle class in China?
Yeah, well, some of middle class is already have second child, and actually several, many of them, and which I wrote in my book, even though government have certain fines for one child policy, and people can be allowed, you know, be able to pay that fine and have a second child. And but I do think that will affect China's demographics in the future. And pretty soon Chinese population is going to, you know, has aging population, and that will affect China's economy as well.
Absolutely. We're talking to Helen Wang, everybody, author of the book, The Chinese Dream, The Rise of the World's Largest Middle Class. Now, this is such a fascinating subject, and of course, we didn't have enough time to cover all aspects of it, Helen. So if you were telling people who wanted to learn more about this, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Okay. Well, the book is just on Amazon now. You can go to the Amazon search, The Chinese Dream, The Rise of the World's Largest Middle Class, and what it means to you. And then you can also look for information on thechinesedreambook.com.
Thechinesedreambook.com.
Yes. Yeah, that would direct to that website, give you all the information on where to order the book. And there are
All right. Helen, this is great. It's fascinating stuff. We'll have you back to talk about it because China is only going to get more important as the years go on. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.